Hello, everyone, and thanks again for joining us on Tell the Others. I'm joined today by the lovely Siobhan McLeod from the Breathwork Shed. Hello, Siobhan.
Hello.
So nice to have you here, and I'm so excited to learn a bit more about breathwork, because as we were just saying, I know not much about it. So, where should we start? Maybe where a little bit of your background, tell us a bit about yourself, and how you got into breathwork.
Yeah, for sure. Well, originally I was a sports coach, and I come from Scotland. Mm-hmm. Moved to Melbourne about 10 years ago, did a lot of traveling, and I discovered breathwork on my trip to Bali when I fell into my first kind of anxiety and depression, which I'd never experienced before. I did one breathwork session and it completely changed my life. And then I was like, why does nobody else know about this free tool? Like, we use it every day. And then I was on a mission to bring it back to Melbourne and spread the breathwork love. So that is exactly what I'm trying to do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And was the Bali trip just for fun and you sort of like stumbled into this breathwork thing? Or was it more of a like going there as like a retreat, you know, to kind of rejuvenate yourself? Like, were you going kind of as a seeker or were you going just as a tourist?
No, we were going, myself and Tom, so my boyfriend, as you know, was we actually got offered a job there to manage a gym. So we were managing a gym in Bali for 6 months. So it was a contract. And while I was there, we were helping like run classes and get the gym up and running. And one day we were just sitting at a community table and we were asking people like, hey, what do you do? What do you do? And one of the girls was like, oh, I teach breathwork meditation. I was like, cool, let's like set up a class at our gym. I love meditating. I meditate every day. And brought her in to do a class. And then me and Tom were like, oh, we'll just jump in. Like, we'll just do it too. Yeah. But I literally thought it would be like standing up, breathing, like focusing on our breath, which obviously you still focus, but it was lying down and it was a pattern that you follow. And I completely seized up and I felt all my energy moving. I had all these realizations and visions and messages. And after the session, I was like, what the fuck just happened?
What was
And that was my first experience. It just blew my mind, like that 45-minute session. And then as soon as I did it, I was like, where can I do this training?
Yeah. Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know a little bit about the physical response of stuff from my work as a trauma clinician, but what is the explanation, I guess, that you would give? And also, you know, like if I'm working with people as a therapist, there's a bit of maybe psychoeducation and knowledge and understanding that I've already given them when we talk about the body and breath and stuff like that. But at the breathwork shed, you would have total rookies, like strangers, like randoms off the street that have no trauma knowledge, no mind body connection knowledge. So how do you explain, like maybe a better question is when you start a class, surely you'd have to give them some kind of, hey, something might happen within you.
Yeah.
How do you explain it? Like, what's the nugget way of like how you explain how the breath impacts the body?
Yeah, so the way I explain it, I try not to go into like the science and everything of it because like people just can't relate. So when we did the training, he's like, tell them if they really want to think about it, look at it more as a feeling thing. So it's how you feel. So that's the way I explain it. So the first breath is into the belly. So the belly, I explain to them, is like an energetic emotional center. And I explain it as like a bucket. So it's like a bucket of emotions. And ever since we're younger, we start suppressing and filling up the bucket of like, if someone says to us like, be quiet or stop talking. So we kind of go and we push it down. And then it's like, oh, hey, you're ugly as a joke, but we suppress it and push it down. So we're filling up this bucket of stuff that we've not said or let go of as energy. And I say to people, this type of breath work goes into that bucket and it starts scooping out the bucket. And that's the way I explain it. So, and then the second breath is into the heart space. And I say to them, if they have, which I had, is any heaviness around your heart, imagine your heart's kind of building up in layers, and the breath work starts to clear the layers and make your heart a bit lighter. And that's the second breath. The third breath is obviously the exhale, and that's where you just like let go. So that's exactly how I explain it. And then they can relate to it. And then when I explain it, I have kids as well. So when I explain it to kids, I tell them it's like a balloon or a bubble. Mm-hmm. So breathe into the bubble or the balloon in your belly and the bubble in your heart, and then let it go. And they like to pretend that they want to try and like make the balloon bigger or the bubble bigger. And they, yeah, they love that. So,
wow.
Yeah. That's how I explain it.
Do you have resistance from people that they, or I guess if they're in your presence, they're kind of coming to have a different experience. So I would imagine that they'd be open-minded to it, but maybe in other areas, if you're talking to someone, say at a coffee shop or something, and you say the whole concept of breath work and then the releasing of stuff, are people like, oh, hell no, girl, I do not want to do that. Like,
yes,
don't stir it up. Let's just keep that bucket nice and suppressed.
Yeah.
Find that?
A lot of people do, yeah. And especially even when they come into their first session, like you can see, like I can see watching, that's obviously why I'm there. I can see the resistance. I can see the body and the mind being like, no, 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 don't go there. And I'm like, if you just breathe a little bit deeper into it, it will just like let it go. And you know, when people, it really makes you tear up. And so you can see people not wanting to cry. And and I feel like this is the blessings with virtual, because they're like, hey, I'm in my own house, my pajamas, no brown. And they're just like crying and, you know, really getting into it. But also when I'm there with them in the shed, I'm really like encouraging and talking, and I'm like, let's move it. Like, let's give it permission to shift and open. And the beauty is always when you push through the resistance, isn't it? Like, it's always when you just go a little bit further. But yeah, I can, and I say it as I'm facilitating, I'm like, if you're feeling resistance or noticing resistance, like breathe into it, or like ask it why it's there. Like, why are you holding me back? What's the barrier, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this type of breath work really sometimes gives you no choice. I always feel it goes straight into it. It's like, this is what you need to work on. And then they're like, I have to face it. I've got no choice.
Yeah. Because the body knows, and the body always knows. And I always say the body knows first and the mind knows second. And then we use our mind annoyingly to talk ourselves out of feelings or to dismiss them. Whatever, but it's the body always knows.
Always, so always.
How do you encourage that? Because, you know, like when I see people for EMDR, which for anyone listening who doesn't know what that is, it stands for eye movement desensitization reprocessing. It rolls off the tongue. And it's a technique and modality to process and release trauma. And a lot of times when I am explaining it to people, I say the same thing. Like, we're going to have a little period of like a few minutes where all this stuff is going to come up and it's going to feel really intense. But I just really encourage you to just let it go and go with it rather than resist it, because it just, why are we here? Right? Like, we're here to move through this trauma and to release it, to be free from it. So let's not resist it, because that's the whole point of why we're doing this, right?
Yeah.
But it's amazing how when I'm watching someone go through it, and I would imagine it's similar to you, I can watch the way that their chest is moving and I can almost see the resistance. I can almost see, and like the facial expression of holding back the tears and fighting it. And then when I say something, you know, in a gentle tone, like just releasing, just allowing it to be here, just making space, and then just, whoosh, just watching the whole kind of unlocking.
Yeah.
How do you do that though, in that kind of a space, or do you say it beforehand, or do you not try to get in their head too much? Do you just, if you're walking around the room and you see someone who's kind of fighting it, do you just kneel down and kind of tend and attune to them and then say, let's just release it? Or like, what can you kind of help people with if they're getting stuck like that at home? What's sort of the language that you like to use to help expand?
I feel like, so if it was me normally in the shed, I normally just try and use my intuition. Like, normally if I put my hand on someone's heart, which I tell them before, I will put my hand on your belly or your heart. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want me to, that's fine. But everyone's like, yep, whatever, because they're coming into the space being open to anything.
Yeah.
I always feel if I place my hand on their heart, it just like opens floodgates.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you were at home, like I encourage them to do it themselves normally when I'm doing this virtually. So I say put your hand on your heart and breathe into it, and ask it how it feels. Like, how does your heart feel today? And the other thing is like giving yourself a cuddle, like just wrapping your hands around yourself and and giving yourself a cuddle, but say, I'm giving myself a cuddle. Yeah, I feel like so that really helps.
So many clients, when I'm having, say, a session that we get to a point that's really, really heavy and really intense and there's lots of emotion, I'll say to them, would it be helpful to put your hand on your heart or both hands on your heart? And it's amazing how it's like an instant settling. And as if it feels as if I've come across the table and like wrapped my arms around them. Like that's how powerful them putting their hand on their heart. And it sounds, I think, so simple, but it is so powerful, I think, and such a good that. And then sometimes I'll say one hand there and one hand on the belly. And then that often does the same kind of comforting thing.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Explain to me what the benefits were, because I would imagine someone listening to this would be like, this sounds crazy that I would go into
crazy.
I go into a room, this lady's going to make me cry, I'm going to fall apart on the floor, she's going to touch my belly, you know, like, what? How do we explain it, I guess, in a way that makes it sound appealing? Because, okay, losing my shit and falling apart, you and I might appreciate the benefit of that, having done that. You know, I've done that millions of times in my own.
I'm like, give me more.
Yeah. Oh, you get that feeling afterwards and you're like, oh, that was such a good session. And you know, pulling your eyes out. But so how do we explain it to someone, say, who's never done it? How do you, you know, what's the why, you know, why would someone want to do this? What do you think?
It's so crazy because there's a million benefits. So like for me, I was having like a million panic attacks the day before I did my first breathwork session. I did one breathwork session 2 years ago and I've not had one panic attack since. Like for me, it just went bang, anxiety done. Like this is what, it was literally like, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to tell whoever. Get out of Bali and do it. And if you do it, you will feel better. And so I did it. And it just was like, whoosh. So for me, it's huge for like anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. But I always tell people, like I have a feedback highlight thing on my Instagram. I'm like, go and read it because it's so hard for me to explain because every single experience is completely different. But what people normally, the feedback that I get is they feel amazing, 10 kilos lighter, they feel like they've released and softened, they have realizations like stuff they need to maybe say to their parents or their family, and when they do it they're like, oh, I really needed that. They normally have the best night's sleep ever, so they're like, I feel well rested. And it's just so many different, everyone's so unique and individual, like there's never been two people with the same experience, so it's so hard to say the benefits of a certain individual. But I feel like in terms of, for me, it was like a lot of trauma stuff that it went into. And I mean, it still is, it's still working through stuff, but it was like grieving. My grandma passed away, I think about 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it still comes up, the grieving from that. But I did a breathwork session last month and the message came through. It was like, your grandma was like a second mum to you and you've not grieved losing a mum. And then that just kind of opened up a whole new floodgate. And I'm like, wow, this was 4 years ago. And there's still like, you know, little just droplets coming through for when I'm ready for it. Mm-hmm. But as you were saying, how the body knows first, another thing it really helped me with is I've had a forearm injury for, it would have been about 5 years before breathwork. So my forearms were jamming up. I saw like specialists. I saw like the best in Melbourne. I kept seeing people and they're like, we have no idea what this injury is. We don't know. We will massage it. We'll give you home exercises.
And you don't even know how you did it? Like you don't even know what you actually did to get the injury in the first place?
No, there was no one thing. I was a sports coach, so I lifted weights and I was like, maybe I'm lifting too much weight. Maybe I'm overtraining. And you know, it was 5 years of me really studying what's going on. Yeah. So when I did my first session of breath work, my forearms and my fists completely like seized up like this. So when you're breathing, you can get cramping and stuff in certain areas. So for me, it was like forearms like this. And during the breath work, I was like, I must be bleeding. I must be hurting myself. My forearms are going to blow up. So after the session, I obviously asked the facilitator, like, why did my forearms do that? And they said to me, which I now know is your arms are an extension of your heart space. So maybe start looking at what's going on with your heart, like trauma, heartbreak and feelings. So I'd been betrayed by, before Tom, all my ex-partners like cheated on me. My dad cheated on my mom. It was just a whole lineage thing of cheating and betrayal. So the more and more I dug into that and the more I did breath work, I have zero forearm pain anymore. So it was just like all this stuck energy from my heart just working its way around the body. And when I explain that to people that have sports injuries now I'm like, well, have you tried releasing energy from your body, like moving and dancing in a different way or breathing? Mm-hmm. And that was a huge thing. Like, even Tom was like, I can't believe you don't get forearm pain anymore. So the more now I do breath work and my arms are just so flowy and light and I can lift as much weight as I want and it's fine. And wow. It was just 5 years of trying to look into this injury and doing breath work is just gone. Like, it doesn't even exist anymore. Wow. So it was all this caught up, like really hard energy in my arms. So like you were saying, the body was like telling me something. So
totally. I've seen so many clients with stories like that where when we first start working together, they have chronic back pain, neck pain, hands, like whatever, different kinds of hip pain. And then as we do the therapy and we do EMDR and we do like releasing, healing kind of things, then it's just bizarre how so many chronic issues that they've had their whole life are then gone. It's just, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I think it's also one of those things that you kind of need, I think, to have had experience with yourself or know someone who's done it, because I think otherwise you just kind of go, this is too good to be true. Or this is like, it can't be possible that all I have to do is some therapy or some breathing or whatever. And they don't, I think that people just don't believe it. And I've experienced it in my own life with healing chronic pain and chronic injuries by doing therapy and stuff. But I think the beauty of breath work is you don't have to go there so much verbally, like you do in therapy, you know. And that's one of the things I love about EMDR is that you don't have to go there. You don't have to tell the story. You don't have to talk. You just, you know, watch the person's fingers. Mm-hmm. But with most talk therapy, people are like, I don't want to go into my trauma because then I have to talk about it. I don't want to tell the story of the worst day of my life. And I love the fact that with breath work, it's like, you're literally laying there. You don't have to say a thing. You just just sort of like shut up, get out of the way, let your body just do what it's meant to do, which is heal itself.
Yeah, 100%. And that's like, that's why I think it's so beautiful, because you're in like, the therapy is like in you, the body's telling you like, this is what I would love you to work on. And I don't want you to feel pain. So please try and come in and work through this. And for me, it was like, oh my God, my poor forearms, because I've not been dealing with this heartache and pain, but here's the realization, and like, do what you can with it and address it. And, you know, it's however that feels for you. Like if it's journaling or talking and, couples therapy, or, you know, cause that's all the stuff that helps release it. So it's a really beautiful thing, I think. And it's a real shame for me when someone's like, I don't want to look into this. I'm like, but it's so lovely.
And it's so liberating. I think that's the thing that people don't realize is how many self-limiting beliefs you have, how many blind spots you have. And that's the hard part, is like, you don't know what you don't know. And so you don't even realize that, like, the way that I am at my job or the way that I am in all my relationships or whatever comes back to a self-limiting belief, you know, like a fundamental, I'm not lovable or I'm not safe or I'm not enough or whatever. And then that self-limiting belief then just trickles through and impacts all these different areas of your life. And so if you can have a situation like that where you, or an opportunity like that, where you get to release the trauma and release the crap that you're just holding on to, you're free from that. And it's like, are you joking? How would you not want to be free from the self-limiting belief of like, I'm not enough? Yeah. Like, you can't even put a price tag on that. Like, that shit's priceless. Like, that's amazing to let go of that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I always say as well. Like, I'm like, when people are like, oh, I don't know, I'm like, why would you not want to feel this good? It's so good.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. So when did you start the Breathwork Shed, and when, like, how long have you been doing it in that, leading a group? Like, what is the, you know, setup like? Are there candles? Is it dark, bright? 20 people in a room, 5 people, like, how does it, is it an hour? What's, like, walk us through what it's sort of like doing one of your sessions.
Yeah, so the shed, I keep my classes to 8 people maximum, purely because I want to get around every single person and help them and chat and really analyze and see what their bodies are doing so I can help them afterwards. So normally people come in, it's a really like zen vibe, so I actually have like lots of rugs and blankets on the floor, and I have lanterns around the room, so they just like come and lie on the rugs, and they use, I've got blankets, they put a blanket over them, they can wear an eye mask if they want to, and then as they breathe I dim the lights, and so I can just see, and they're like in a nice like cozy space. The class is an hour long, so at the start I just get everyone coming in, and you know, we're just like, hi, how are you, sort of thing, and then it's all about themselves, so then they go inwards, and obviously I explain the breath work and the bucket thing about the emotions. They lie down, and then we just spend a couple minutes like grounding, so like, how's your body today? Can you slow your breath? Can you relax your body? Can you relax your mind? Can you like sink into it? You know, then we breathe for about 30 minutes. So the breathwork pattern keeps going for 30 minutes, and that's what happens. And it's all done to music. So I have like a different playlist every week that they breathe to. And it's really cool watching how music, you know, the music's planned, so I know at different points when the music's kind of going to hit certain areas of the mind, so that's planned too.
So when you say, sorry to interrupt you, when you say the breathwork pattern, like, so are you, is it like, because in my mind I'm thinking it's just in and out, but are you saying it's like, you know, like fast, or you're
Yes, it's the breath work, as I'll show you. So it's like you put one hand on your lower belly and one hand on your heart. Yep. And it's an inhale, inhale, exhale. So you breathe into your belly.
Oh. Okay. So it's
inhale, inhale, exhale.
Wow. And then there's that. And then you just do that for 30 minutes.
Yep, 30 minutes. So the first couple of minutes are the working part. So that's when the brain's like, what are you doing? This is not right.
Stop it. Yeah.
And then after about 5 minutes, you just don't even know that you're going. Like, it just keeps moving. And obviously I'm encouraging and helping, and they just do it for 30 minutes. And then they have a 10-minute savasana at the end, which is so important. So that's when you're back to your normal breathing. You can really go inside, and that's when all like the juicy stuff comes up. Like, you know, people see lots of colors and visions, and yeah. And then at the end, I highly encourage everyone to share. So I go around each person saying, can you share your experience? And majority of them are still crying, which is really cool. Like, we kind of laugh, being like, oh, crying session at the shed tonight. Like, come along, and, you know, and the people that come love crying. So that's just who I attract anyway. So they're all sharing and crying, and it's really, well, it's funny and it's not, because it's always the same group. Like, everyone always has the same stuff. So, and recently it's been a lot of inner child, like heaps of inner child stuff's coming up recently. A couple of weeks ago, it was forgiveness, and all the same people come together in the group. And I don't plan that. It just kind of happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really fascinating how, when they all share, they're like, me too. That was my session.
Wow. Yeah. There's definitely something with that, I think, synchronicity wise, where like, I'll have days at work where it's like the same kind of theme through all like 7 clients of the day. It's really weird. I don't know what that's about, but that, I totally believe that makes sense. Or groups I've led where like, yeah, people go around and share how their week's been, and there's like just like commonalities. Like, it's just, I don't know what, there's something, I don't know, bigger going on. Yeah. I guess it's just that we're all connected, aren't we? Like, it's all, we're all one big network of people.
Yeah, it's so true. So true.
So what are some of your craziest stories, either that you've experienced or that you've seen from people that you've worked with, of like, I mean, your story is nuts, just as it is, of saying, that was my last panic attack. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
What are some other stories that come to mind of like, you know, transformative, whoa stuff that's happened for people?
Good question. Yeah, they're all amazing. But like the really big ones I've had is, so I got invited to a gym to do a session and the manager arranged it. And normally I don't do that because I like people to want to do it and come to me. So I don't actually like going somewhere and then being forced to do it. And that was my first lesson from going there. But anyway, I did it. And the guy was, I think he was in his 60s. Late 60s, and he did the breath work and he was joking at the start and he's really skeptical about it and he's like, oh, whatever, like this breathing thing we have to do. And I was like, oh God. But anyway, he did the breath work and he was tears and crying and I was like, okay, cool. Like he's getting into it. This is great. And then afterwards he pulled me aside and he said when he was born, his mum passed away giving birth to him. And he went right back to that memory. Yeah. And he was like, I'm in my 60s. I'm super skeptical. I would never have done this in my life, but you brought me back to that moment with my mum. And I was just like, oh.
I got goosebumps. Oh my gosh.
So that was huge. It was just this like old guy who was like joking about it at the start. And then to the end being like, you took me back to my, I didn't, the breath did. But
took me back
to my mom and I was just like, oh my God. It was like, that was probably the biggest one I've had, especially because he didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
He was like, I don't want to do this breathing shit.
Yeah, totally. With this crazy lady who's going to make me breathe and cry. Yeah. Wow.
So that was like a really big one. I've had people just, the realizations for me are huge. Like when they're like, oh, I realize I'm acting this way because of my mom or my dad or the way I was brought up. They're always big ones. And it's normally of how you've been brought up, which is, you know, that's just a cycle that we all go through of what our parents were doing and mine's was the same. So the realizations are pretty big.
Wow. And what is like the lifespan of doing breath work? Like, do you say, everyone, like dream scenario, right? Like, I believe like everyone should do therapy, obviously, because I believe in it. And I think, you know, like if we all had the time and money, I think we all should go weekly for the rest of our lives, you know?
Yep.
But what would you say is the like bare minimum? Okay, if you're just getting into it, you're curious about it, do it once a day, once a week, once a month. If you're then trying, kind of like with yoga, you know, like you could say there's, you know, depending on if it's more of a spiritual practice for you or if you're just doing it for flexibility, if you're doing it for exercise, you know, your teacher might say that there's a different sort of interval. So what would you say for breath work that you would be recommending to like the rookie who's just starting and then someone who wants to kind of keep it going for maintenance and just, you know, overall general well-being? How often would you be saying, and then like how much time does one need to devote to it?
Yeah, so I've actually got a free YouTube link and I encourage everyone to do like 7 minutes a day. So just to like get yourself like out of a funk or up and about or however you're feeling. So 7 minutes minimum a day, like 100%. And just when you feel like it, like I rather do it in the morning, whereas Tom does it before he goes to bed to like empty his head. So, you know, just however you feel called to do 7 minutes. And normally when they do a session, they know how to do it and they know the drill. I'm like, go away, pick two songs you love and just breathe to them every day. So, you know, you're really, it's like a little mini meditation, I guess. In terms of the longer sessions, I personally do them once a week as a weekly exfoliation. That's what I call them.
I love it.
And they're really good for me. And sometimes, like, I did a session last night and I was so resistant to it. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, every session's. And then the week before that, I had like a really lovely, grateful self-love session. A week before that, I was like bawling my eyes out. And, you know, so every set, the breath kind of gives you what you need at that time. But you can use it to like ask questions. You can use it to shift emotions. You can use it if you just feel cold to like, oh, I need to breathe. But yeah, I normally say once a week, I think is pretty good. But when I did the course, the idea was that we empty ourselves before we can hold space for anyone else. So we did about like 6 sessions, like one every day, like an hour or so every day. And that was like, transformational. But I say, if someone's going through a lot of, I've had a couple of people who've had like recent like deaths in their family or their partner, and they would come like every single time I had a class on, just to really shift it. So I feel like if you've got something big like that going on, mm-hmm. I'd encourage more. Mm-hmm. But I think once a week's so nice to just like just get out of your head, you mm-hmm. know, just mm-hmm. to feel good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there a technique or I'm thinking of like a first aid, first response situation. Like, for example, if you say, got a call from a friend and they were like, I've just been in a car accident, can you come meet me at the hospital? And if you were to go meet them in the ER and they were feeling, you know, really distressed, is there a specific technique that you, if they said to me like, hey, Siobhan, can you lead me through some breath work really quick? Is there, mm-hmm. like, does it work like that, where you would have different kind of breathing patterns that you do for sort of different stuff? So in that kind of acute crisis where they're feeling, you know, really distressed because I was just in a car accident, you would do a da da da, and then if it's I'm feeling low energy, it's a ba 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 ba, you know, like, is there a different kind of pattern? Is that the language, right? But like a breathwork pattern, is that the language? Okay.
Yeah, no, I feel like the one that I do, I would just encourage the same breathwork pattern that I teach.
Right.
I feel like if it was someone that was really panicking and anxious, I'd probably encourage them to slow it down.
Mm-hmm.
If it was something they maybe wanted to shift, I like, oh, you can maybe pick up the pace a little bit more and kind of get things moving a bit quicker.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I think that would be the only difference.
And is it always the in out? That you mm-hmm. said that's always the method.
Always.
Okay. Yeah. Do you ever slow down one of them? Like quick, slow? Or is it always they all are the same tempo?
Yeah, they're all however you feel like you can do it. So I think the more I do breath work, the more I've learned to slow it down. But I think mm-hmm. initially I was probably very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting watching people breathe because you know how they're feeling that day. Mm-hmm. So if someone's quite chill, it'll be a quite a slow, deep breath. And if they're not, it's a very like an anxious breath. So you can kind of tell how people are feeling from the way they breathe in that mm-hmm. situation. But we do focus a lot, like at the start of the breath work, on the first breath. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm like, hand on your belly, really focus on like the belly and the lower back area. And then mm-hmm. halfway through, it would be the second breath. So really focus on like bursting your heart open and opening the shoulder blades and the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And so I definitely focus on the different breaths, and the exhale. I encourage them to like use their words, like as they exhale, like say out loud, like I let go, or I surrender, or
mm-hmm.
Someone's name that you want to like let go of. And it's there's definitely different phases of it that you can really, really put into practice. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It almost sounds like free medicine or something, you know, like a very affordable, simple way to keep yourself healthy, you know?
Yeah. This is why I was like, I cannot believe people do not know about this. It blew my mind. It's something you can do every day yourself for free, like a little short mini session. It takes up 7 minutes of your time.
Totally.
And then you can do like a big session online or in person or in a group or by yourself. It's the full name of it is breathwork meditation healing. Like it's a real healing medicine.
Yeah, totally. Did you always know, like when you were little, did you know like, I'm going to be a helper one day? Like, did you always know that this was sort of your plan or your trajectory? Or when you were little, were you like, I want to be a corporate high flyer and I want to wear a suit and, you know, wear high heels and work in the city? Like when you like, or has this been like an evolution for you to get to this point? Or did you always know I was going to be a helper in some capacity?
Yeah, I probably like the jobs I've always had, they're always been helping people. And I'm like mm-hmm. a real like empath. Like I'm always thinking of others all the time. And me and Tom always laugh and he'll openly say this, like he's very selfish and he thinks about himself in every situation. He's like, it's just the way I am. But we openly talk about it. Whereas I'm the opposite. I'm like, is this person okay? And are they okay? And how can I help them?
Yeah.
And Yeah, so we always like laugh how we're so different in that kind of space.
Yeah.
But I read the book when I was 16, The Secret, about like law and attraction in the universe. And I was like the only person that I knew that was like into it. So I was just like secretly putting it into practice and like just watching my whole life change. And then people would be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you like so lucky, or how's this happening to you? And then as I started sharing all my experiences with that and like gratitude and everything, I feel like I really wanted to get into the healing space. I'm like, how can I make this like bigger and share? And then breath work was just like, bang, I'm here. Like, and that's I knew I had to go for it.
And do you see that evolving in some way? Like, do you have fantasies of like, I want to have a yoga studio and do yoga and breath work and, you know, like, and pottery making, you know, or do you have a kind of the next step of like of how I would love to see this evolve? Or do you just go, nah, I just want to do breath work and I want to do, you know, courses or webinars, or I want to just keep building that and getting that to more people? Or what do you sort of, what's the evolution that you see with yourself in this work?
Yeah, I just feel like I want as many people as possible to know that this is available to them, like as many as possible, however that happens. And it's definitely something I want to reach, like as soon as doing virtual now, because I'm from Scotland, so I'm starting to reach people in Scotland. And I like messaged my mom and I'm like, breathworks in Scotland. Like, I was so happy that I was like reaching other places. So I think, yeah, I just want to spread the word. And like, you know, when I was growing up, I hate using this word, but it was seen as like woo woo to like talk about breathwork and healing and The Secret. And as I grow older, I'm like really like trying to tell everyone about it. I'm like, no, this really changed my life. So now that I'm older, I can say it's changed my life. And this is why I'm here, because of all this stuff I've put into practice. And no matter how woo-woo and crazy it is, I'm going to keep doing it if it's going to make my life better. And I've done therapy and, you know, I've done all this healing stuff. So I think the any more healing things that come my way, like Reiki is something I really want to put into practice, because I feel it would work well with breath work. And I think when people try breath work, now that they're open to it, I'll be like, well, I've got another healing thing that I do. And they'll be like, oh, well, if she does breath work, then maybe we can try this.
Yeah, totally.
And just slowly add it on until people are really open to like, oh, we can all do this thing called healing.
It's interesting too, because I'm hearing a lot of what I'm assuming is intuition, and that you knew from a really little age, and being an empath, and being, you were probably told too sensitive a lot, that sensitivity and that ability to interpret and intuit what's happening for someone, and to feel, you know, you have your little feelers out always, and that you can feel how everyone's feeling, and not, I guess, not celebrating that when you're younger. Cause I think a lot of times I hear parents that I work with say to me, he's just too sensitive, or she's just so sensitive. And like, it's always said like a bad thing. And I was the same growing up, that I was too sensitive. And then, you know, it was only through, you know, therapy and getting older that I realized like, actually, no, that's like my superpower, dude. Like that's what makes me awesome. But when did you have that shift for you, where you went, no, my empath heart and my intuition is actually awesome and helpful and useful? Because I would imagine most people, maybe you're different, but most people, I think, grow up thinking that it's bad, it's a weakness, there's something wrong with me, or I shouldn't feel this way, or whatever, I should conform to everyone else, and, you know, feelings, schmeelings. How did you get to that point? Or maybe it was through breath work where you went, no, I'm sensitive, yeah. And I'm an empath, yeah. And I am very intuitive, and that's awesome, and I need to run with that.
I think it probably was, like, I probably knew all along, but kept it to myself. And I think breath work really just burst me open. And then I've just like stopped giving a fuck.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever, like, this is me. And yeah, like, I teach people how to breathe. And yeah, I love helping others. And yeah, I'm going to help them in any situation. And I used to hold my advice in, 'cause I'm like, oh no, I don't really want to say that. And now I'm like, well, maybe try this. This is just a suggestion. Whereas before, I wouldn't openly give that out. So I feel like I probably needed the permission to start using it. And yeah, and now I'm like, I love it. You know, it's just it's really cool. And you get, when you're truly yourself, like the reward back is so lovely. Yeah. Like it's, that's why I encourage everyone to just be you, do what you love, do what you like, you know, who cares what anyone else says.
Yeah. Yeah. Such a process though, isn't it? To get to that space.
Oh,
I wish I could like bottle that and sell it, man. And just, well, not sell it. I just give it to people, because to have that ability where you feel comfortable in yourself and know who you are and are at peace with it and love who you are is just, well, priceless. It stops so much suffering. Hey.
Yeah.
So what would you say would be your favorite, I don't know, top one, two, or three things that you would want people to know? Like what's the tell the others that you would want people to know, either about life in general or breathwork or, what would you say are your couple of nuggets of wisdom that you kind of think, God, I wish everyone knew or tried, you know, skydiving, or I don't know, what would be your kind of key things, your few key things that are the most powerful things that have meant the most to you?
Probably breathwork is definitely number one, because it opened up everything for me. So like try, experience it. I mean, do it yourself, just breathwork 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Another couple, having boundaries has changed my life. So
preach. Yes.
Saying no, keeping people at arm's length, you know, and you are who you spend your time with and what you consume. That was huge, and that really changed my life as well. And just like do what makes you happy. You know, I used to sit and like, I would love just sitting having like a glass of wine, and people would be like, well, if you're like doing breath work, like, should you be drinking? And, you know, like, why are you just sitting by yourself and having wine? And I used to be like, oh shit, like, should I not be doing this, or should I be? And then I'm like, no, this is my self-love. I love doing this. Mm-hmm. And now I make it like a really big, I call it a Siobhan night. I have like this really, make it a really big event. I like have like my wine and, you know, whatever I want to like watch on YouTube or TV. And, you know, make myself cozy, light a candle. And, you know, so I'm like, you know, if someone's shaming what you love, like just do it, but make it bigger.
yeah, totally. And do you have a book to start a place to go in relation to, well, I think obviously breathwork, tell everyone where they can find you and learn more in your meditation, your 7-minute one that you have. And then with boundaries and then sort of loving yourself, with the boundaries and loving yourself, do you have a person you follow or a book or a, where could people start, do you think, if they want to learn more about boundaries? Just Google it, or where do you like to send people to start if they're curious to learn more about boundaries?
Yeah, the holistic psychologist on Instagram literally gave me permission. I think the post was like, family is everything, with a cross through it, and it's like, family is not everything. And I read that post, and obviously growing up, and I think most of us grew up as like, family is everything and it's your blood and who cares what they do, but you should always support and follow your family. And when I read that post, my whole body just went, oh, wow. Like, family is not everything. And that's when I put up huge boundaries with family and just noticed like the most loveliest change for myself. And so the holistic psychologist, she's definitely changing lives on Instagram. Totally. So I'd highly recommend following her. And if anyone's like younger and listening, I read The Secret when I was 16, and that completely changed my life when I was 16 as well. Definitely that too. And obviously the breath, it's at The Breathwork Shed on Instagram. And I just continuously try to give out content that lets people understand like what it is, and you know, sharing. I've got like a highlight with the feedback, which has got like heaps of feedback on there. People can read just to let you know that others do it and they get really good results as well. And you know, and I always encourage people to message me, like send me an email or a DM or a text, just being like, oh, I'd love to try it, but I'm wondering this or this, because I know it's new and it's people don't understand it. So I'm always there to be like, what's your questions? And, you know, yeah. I'll help you with it.
Yeah. So with the 7-minute one, where do they find you on YouTube to try it? And what do we Google to try to find the 7-minute one?
Yeah, just Siobhan McLeod. And I think it'll be the first thing that comes up on YouTube on my channel.
Okay.
Yeah. And just it's 7 minutes. And if anyone does it, like, tell me how you went with it. I really want to know.
Okay.
And people do it. So
awesome. Could you please spell your name? Cause I know, the Scottish and Irish way of spelling Siobhan, but can you spell it for people since they may not know how to spell it?
Yeah. So it's S-I-O-B-H-A-N.
And then McLeod was M-A-C-L-E-O-D. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah,
cool.
Yep,
All right, perfect. And so it's YouTube is Siobhan McLeod. Instagram is The Breathwork Shed.
Yeah.
And anything else, that, any other way that they can find you, or is that where most of your content lives?
That's where everything is. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for all of this insight and just, wow, blew my mind with the power of breathwork. And I'm definitely going to have to do one because very curious to see what an hour of breathing like that, or 30 minutes. How long is a class when you do a class at the show?
Yeah, the class is like an hour, including like the talking and the grounding and everything. Yeah. But the breathwork is 30 minutes with a 10-minute like lying down savasana sort of thing. So you're lying down for about 40 minutes.
Yeah. Wow, awesome. Well, cool. Thank you so much. And we'll hope to see you soon at the shed, or online, I guess, at the shed too.
Yay. Yeah,
cool. Thank you. Siobhan. See ya.
Thanks, Heidi.